Hello, and welcome to season 5, episode 3 of the Virtual Coffee Podcast. I'm Becca, and this is a podcast that features members of the Virtual Coffee community. Virtual Coffee is an intimate group of developers at all stages of their coding journey, and they're here on this podcast sharing their stories and what they've learned. And we're here to share it with you. Here with me today is my co-host, Dan.
What up, Beck? We're back. Season three. Sorry, Nick Taylor was distracting me on Slack, and so
turn off notifications.
That's not how I live my life. Live my life one distraction at a time. Anyway, today we have a great episode. We talked with Helen Griffin, who is a full stack developer and founder. And we talked about her journey through tech and talked a lot about her experience as a founder of her two companies, State of Developers and Jovial. And so those two companies concentrate a lot on developer personal health of developers and things like burnout and stuff like that. So it was really interesting.
Yeah, I love talking to Helen. She's a lot of fun. And I love the idea that she's a multi-passionate person. She's got all of these things that she's doing. She's excited to talk about them and to share what she's doing. And there's so many great moments in this episode. There's the one moment, I can't remember which one it was, but I was like taking a sip of coffee and Helen said something and I literally choked on my coffee because I was laughing. And then it took me a solid couple of minutes to get past that. But she was a lot of fun to have.
Yeah, no, I had to actually block your video screen from like looking at it so that we didn't just have a total meltdown in the middle of the episode. But no, it was fun. We laughed a lot and Helen was great. So yeah, it was a good episode. And I think you're going to enjoy it.
We start every episode of the podcast like we start every virtual coffee. We introduce ourselves with our name, where we're from, what we do, and a random check-in question. We hope you enjoy this episode. Today's random question is, what is one thing you would like to learn more about but have no reason to? So, my name is Becca. I am a technical community builder from a small town in Ohio. And one thing I would like to learn more about, I don't know, it's either like trees or birds. They're both like very fascinating. What is the eye roll there, Dan?
You stole mine. Exactly what I was going to say.
Well, I get to go first. So now you need to think of something else. There's a website that has like people can submit sounds of birds and where they are hearing those sounds. So there's recording of that, and I'm like, there's a really cool project here, but I have not figured it out yet. So,
hi, I'm Dan. I do web development in Cleveland, Ohio, and yeah, man, I was gonna do. I like knowing about things that I see, you know, it's just like really cool to be able to like look at things and know what they are. Right. It's a strange thing that to say out loud, I guess, but, you know, since Becca stole that one from me, I'll go like, you know, historical architecture, something like that, you know, being able to like wander around a city and, you know, be like, oh, you know, old Thomas Jefferson was drinking beer over there or something. I don't know. Something like that. That's my second place answer. Okay. But yeah.
Okay. All right. That leaves me. What's up, y'all? I'm Helen. I am a full stack developer and from the Midwest. Howdy. I think to answer that question, I think I would like to learn about some form of martial art. I have no reason.
That's a good one.
It's a really good one.
But I would still like to learn like some form of martial art. I don't know. It would be jiu-jitsu. I can never pronounce it. So that's probably something I won't learn since I can't pronounce it. So I just stick with karate since I can pronounce that. But I don't know why I want to learn it, because I'm not flexible. I don't move. I sit while I work. I don't even stand. So I breathe hard going upstairs. So we see how that works out.
That's awesome. I feel like that should have been my first answer. Now that you said that, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to learn Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
I just want to, I guess growing up, I used to watch movies, 80 movies. So it always has some kind of karate scene. Yes. I don't care whatever the fight scene, it always turns into a karate scene. I'm like, how are you from Chicago and you start karate? I don't make it make sense.
Okay, so this is great. My brother, my older brother, so I have two brothers, an older one, a younger one. When in that 90s era of karate fighting scenes, he used to love them, and like especially Chuck Norris movies. Oh, and so he would watch them on the VCR and then like play them in like slow-mo and mimic the action so he could learn them. And I would like sit there and watch him do the thing. So I 100% feel you on that.
Oh my goodness. Yes. I all of the movies, they were some karate. What's the dude that used to be in Dirty Dancing, the blonde head guy? He passed a while back.
Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, he had a Roadhouse. That movie, a lot of karate. How are y'all from the South and y'all doing karate? I'm not trying to be any ism, but I'm just saying, everybody know how to break out into karate. It's just like a musical. Everybody know how to break out into a song.
Oh my God. That is so amazing. I'm so glad that this was the random intro question. I very much appreciate this. Thanks, Helen.
No problem. For
being here with us today.
I don't got nothing else to do, so appreciate it.
All right, let's get into your story. We like to get the story of everyone that comes on the podcast. So what has led you up to where you are today?
Okay. It started off on a snowy winter night in April when I was born. So I don't know when.
We're getting birth stories this season. This is great. Like, we'll just have special episodes.
No. You know, my papa raised me up to the sky, and she said she is born. No, for real. I guess to answer your question, I started off my career as a front end developer, or a web developer at the time. I didn't even know the difference between front end and back end back at the time. So I started as a web developer, got my first corporate gig at American Greetings. So that was my first corporate gig. And then I was a front-end developer for quite some time, so a good 10 years. And then I decided to start a startup. So for the past 7 years, I've been doing a startup or several startups or just... But I guess most of that time, what people don't tell you, like when you try to launch a startup and you've never done a startup before, you never worked in a startup before, what that is it's equivalent to a, it's just an MBA program that you don't get at the end of it. You don't get no certification, no degree. And you spend your own money, similar to like an MBA program. You spend your own money, and the tuition always goes up. So that's pretty much my gist of the story. I was a front end developer. I'm a full stack developer, just based on my experience. You know, just have to learn as a founder. You have to make things work. No matter what, it's all up to you. So you don't have another department or another colleague go and say, hey, make this work. Do your fancy woo-woo. You know, you have to go learn it. So I kind of like learn a little bit of the back end and stuff like that. And then just gain some business acumen as well. So I think the last 7 years been less development. It's been more business development and just learning the business world. And that's its own ecosystem. So
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So now that I'm kind of like I don't want to say stepping away from it, but I kind of like decide to go at a slower pace with my startup and try to return back to development land and to see the world, the world of frameworks and the world of, Lord Jesus, all the frameworks, all the tools, all the expectations. Like, I'm looking at these job descriptions. I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, who do you think you're hiring? You know, I'm like, okay, I guess I'm back in the, I feel like I'm kind of like back at the beginning stages. You know, there's some things I realize where my gaps are. And so I'm trying to fix that up and stuff like that. So that's what I'm doing lately.
Yeah, it's wild because, you know, you have that experience of front end or full stack even, and then you do this pivot, you're focused on this other thing, you come back, you know, and there's just so much. Tech moves so quickly. I just want to take a second and talk about, like, why did you jump into the startup life to begin with? Like, what about that was interesting to you?
It wasn't the startup that interesting to me. What was interesting was I got tired of getting laid off. That would make anybody pivot. I think I was with the organization for like 6 years, got laid off, and then it took another year before I could get another job, got that job, and then and that company, oh my God, that was like, you know, what's that show, Housewives?
Housewives of Weber. Oh, or the Real Housewives?
Real Housewives. I swear, that was like the Real Housewives of executives or something like that. That, like, we was in a remote team and the amount of mess that was going on with that organization. Like, when you find out executives was punching some other executive, and that's the great vibe. It's like, oh yeah, I knew. I was like, layoffs is coming. I just don't know when. I'm just gonna collect my check and work on my startup. And just, yeah, I knew. So I knew it was coming. I just was like, well, I got laid off before, so we see what happens. Maybe they might change. Maybe they, you know, whatever. But so yeah, I think I got tired of the layoffs, and I was like. And that was a route I got exposed to other startup founders. Somehow I went to an event and it was nothing but startup founders. I don't know how I went to this event. It was supposed to be for like developers and tech people. And I just assumed everybody was a developer. And that's when I got exposed to startups. And I started just going to other meetups and stuff like that and getting exposed. And at the time, the city I was in, they had some accelerators that open up their workspace for people to come and work. And I just, once I found those people, I just kind of like was like white on rice. I just stuck on them. I wouldn't go, just trying to consume as much knowledge as possible. So yeah. Oh, here's a funny story. This is how I was so clueless about business. I was trying, once I found out about this accelerator program, I tried to apply for it. And he was like, I had no business applying because I didn't know nothing about business. I didn't have no problem. I was trying to solve nothing. I didn't know nothing. But still, I was trying to apply for it. And the guy, he was so kind. He just set me aside. He tried to explain stuff to me. And he was like, what product are you building? And I was so lost when he kept saying product. I was like, no, I'm a web developer. Like, what you mean product? I was like, what you talking about? I'm not trying to open up a small business. Or trying to, like, because to me, I thought products is what you see at the retail stores. Products had to be some kind of hardware or some type of fabric. You know, it wasn't, you know, it had to be something you get off a shelf or off a hanger. That was a product. I didn't realize that a website was a product. I didn't realize an app was a product. I just was like, no, I'm a web developer. So that was funny. So yeah.
Yeah, man. Well, that whole like language barrier is true. We think of it a lot with development stuff, you know, but it's true. Any like you enter any realm that you haven't been in before, and like all language is different, you know. That's an interesting, like, I don't know. It's an interesting aspect to think about for like events like that, you know, is like where do you set that? Where do you set the bar? You know, and like you, once you're in a world for so long, you talk. you kind of forget that people don't like already know the language you're speaking, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's easy. Like a lot of people walking into a new realm, you know, experience that a lot.
Here's a funny thing I realized, just came to a realization. Like I was reading in some docs and I was kept, it's like, you know how you know a word, you know what a word means, and you kind of like, even when I want to say 70% understand what the person's talking about, but you're like, there's still a slight unclarity in there you're trying to figure out.
Yeah.
I kept getting pissed off every time I kept reading all these docs talking about we tried to abstract something away. I was like, what the heck? And then I realized what they're trying to say is we simplify it so you don't have to write all this boatload of code. All you got to do is just write this one line of code. I wish somebody create a tool where you could just do a short command and then you could search and copy and replace every word that say abstract something in these dots and just say simplify. It'd be so much easier.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge thing. Like we had talked about that at some point. I think there's an issue still up on Virtual Coffee's, repo, where they're like a Chrome extension, right? Like mm-hmm. It's specifically for web development docs, you hover over that thing and there's a definition for it, right?
Okay.
Like, because there's so many things out there, like exactly what you're saying. Nope, people don't remember them once they're past a certain stage. Many people don't. And so there's no definitions and you just kind of have to fill in that education for yourself. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you're self-taught or bootcamp or have a degree, because I think like they gloss over these things and there's so much to learn so quickly that you're not going to remember all of that stuff. And so being able to have that quick reference, there's like, somebody sent me, it's a tech blog. It is so, so good. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what it is right now, but it does that. You hover over something and it gives you like other links. It might be done in Obsidian. So it might be done through Obsidian Publish. And okay. So it takes you to the next thing if you want to go. And so there's like examples, there's definitions. Like this is what documentation should have available, because not everybody can follow that linear documentation structure. It should be like a choose your own adventure documentation to help you like figure out what you need in that moment.
Yeah, we actually on a product we're working on right now. There it is, that product, right? On a web app that we're working on right now. We're trying to deal with that same thing, not inside the code or not for developers, but for people who are using it, right? It's like, the first time you use it or first few times you use it, it's all new and probably kind of confusing, but it's meant to be a tool that like you use a lot, right? And so once you get used to it, we don't want to like clutter up the thing with like tons of help stuff, you know, and trying to figure out what level of like, you know, or like, do we just have a button? Like you're saying this, like, like explain everything to me, you know? And then like a button that says, okay, I'm good. I got this now, you know?
Almost like, there's a tab or something, like a beginner. Beginner, so give me all of the links here or hover, whatever.
Yeah, I think that people, we need to be like, I understand the idea of you're just trying to simplify things. You're just trying to give a basic UI so people can just get in there and get to work. But you still have a barrier before I could get to work. I still got to get used to this environment. It's just like, I'm used to cooking in my kitchen, but you throw me in your kitchen, I'm not going to start cooking right away. I still got to go figure out where you put your pots and pans at, where the salt and pepper, make sure you have seasoning, you know, just check out stuff, you know, find where they're at, you know. I'm not going to be able to just get up and just, the wrap up time ain't going to be quick. So I think we have to remember that beyond the web app or whatever app we're building, there's also another app we got to focus before they even get to there. It's called onboarding. That's a whole own environment.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Onboarding is like, we talk about that a lot. We talk about that a lot with Virtual Coffee too, is like the community, right? Because we got a lot of stuff going on, same situation, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I could talk again for a long time about this. There's a lot of pieces to that puzzle, and it's all kind of interesting and important.
Yeah. I think it's I think we should treat it just like how some folders, they had to put it in their schedule to go back and re-enter their own apps and web apps and products as if they was a new user, so they can see their experience again. Because you have so much time will go by because you're doing so much other stuff that you forget, and you don't know what has broken or what got lost in translation. I think as developers, we should do that too. Be like, okay, let's pretend I'm a user. This is my first time in this environment. Or let's pretend I'm a junior developer. I just graduated. This is my first time. And I'm just, you know, just to get an understanding, you know. It's equivalent to like how executives should go in and do some of the manual tasks just to understand what their teams go through once in a while, kind of thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That is like good advice for not just like the owners, you know, but everybody that's doing it. It's so easy to get caught when you're like caught in the weeds, you know, like when you're living and breathing a project for a long time, you know, you lose sight of like the beginning. I don't even know what the login, or not the login, but like the new user screen looks like on this app that I work on every day, you know, because I haven't looked at it for a long, long time. And that's really very good advice.
Like going back to what you said about onboarding too, it's part of that, you know, because I think that it doesn't matter at what stage you're at when you join a new company. I just joined a company a month ago, and I've felt very comfortable to give feedback like, hey, this is what I thought when I read this. Mm-hmm. And so maybe we can add some clearer documentation here, right?
Yeah.
Because everybody that's coming new into a company, almost everybody, is going to have that new experience and be able to more clearly point out those things to make sure that, you know, you have the most up-to-date information. But sometimes, like, you have to invite people to do that, right? Because if they feel like, oh, you're just supposed to rush through this thing and not like, please feel free to give us your feedback on it, then you're losing out on all of the value that a new employee brings to a position.
Yeah. Especially if they feel like you don't want to hear it. Then you definitely screwed, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, that takes too much time. Like, we don't want to have to do that. Like, Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about, so first of all, I've been like super impressed with all of the stuff that you're doing, and you're always, I feel like you're always on a drive to learn. And that's what's so great, because I think that's the mindset that everybody really should have when you're out there asking questions and talking about these things. And so, like, what do you think that you've learned from your past that you're bringing with you to, I feel like this is kind of like the new stage of Helen. You're like moving into this new thing after spending time other places. Do you have thoughts on that?
Yeah, I got thoughts on that. Let me think about it. No, I do have thoughts. I say one thing I learned through my whole experience is that life is hard, but a lot of times you end up choosing your struggles that you're in. So many times you think things are happening to you, which is true, but then sometimes it's like you have a point where you can make a choice, be like, okay, no more, you know, and just figure out some way to get out of it, or even lessen the pain if you can't get out of it, because there's some problems that are just huge. Most importantly, my past experience, I learned that to learn how to invest in you. So many times I had to, especially by being a startup founder, I had to believe in myself to try and do something, even when I was not qualified, even when I was complete ignorant about something. And then most importantly, I didn't have the resources or the capital, you know, or the network to educate me on something. I had to go learn it. I first figure out what I didn't know and then go find out where I can learn or get what I need to know. I think the first time I had to drop $1,500 on something to invest in myself was like, okay, we're going to do this. I know you just got laid off, but we're going to do this. We could do this. This is going to give you closer to being a startup founder. This is going to have you closer to this person. You can learn some this, you know, and some people be like, why would you do that? That's not guaranteed. There's no guarantee, which is true. There's no guarantee whether you're going, there's going to be success after your task you complete it. And there's no guarantee that you're even going to complete the task, which is funny too.
Yeah.
But you still had to, I still had to learn to invest in myself. So now when I get, now it's much easier for me to make decisions, you know, because I've done that. I made so many decisions, both small and big. So now it's like, okay, what's my values? What I'm trying to attain now? Does this align to what I'm trying to do? Is this a compromise? Or is this a trade-off? Is this, or is this a downright sacrifice? You know, so it's much easier to make these mini choices that we make every day kind of thing that people might prolong for months on end. So,
yeah.
I didn't mean to make y'all depressed.
No.
Y'all got quiet real quick. I'm sorry.
No, I was trying to process what you said. I think that was all great. I think one of those, you know, you talked at the beginning about how the, you know, doing the startup process or whatever was like an MBA, you know, this costs money and all this stuff. And I think like framing it like that as an investment in yourself is really great. You know, it's a really healthy way to look at it. And it's true too, right? And that's just like this like decision framework that you just described, even if you don't like call it a framework in your head, right? But like, it's just like muscle memory almost, you know, you practice it. And so you get good at it. And being able to do that where you're looking at a decision and know how to break it apart and like figure out what you're looking at, right? Just exactly like you said, like is this sacrifice? Is this, you know, some sort of compromise? Like, it's such a valuable tool or skill. And I think that's really cool. And it's my silence when you finished talking was, I was just trying to process that because it was cool. And it was really well put, I thought.
Thanks.
Yeah. Like I remember when I was coming into tech a couple of years ago, we didn't have much money. I've got four kids. And I remember somebody said, hey, like I'll meet you at Starbucks a half an hour away. And like, for me, it was that same thing. Like I had to go through my head and think about like, okay, there's money. There's a cost to drive there. I had a Starbucks card. So I was like, I can use my Starbucks card. I don't have to worry about that. But like even that little bit of gas money there required me to think about like, what am I investing in? And ultimately, like I was investing in myself, and retrospectively, I can see that like this was a good investment, being able to meet somebody, because that led me to the support system that got me through learning how to code. But it can be really hard in that moment to think like, okay, you know, there's money that I can spend here. Is that money worth it? And like, you're right. Nothing is guaranteed there, but, you know, think about what the long-term investment is and where that can take you. It's hard.
Yeah. I always share this with people. I was like, the struggle is real. I'm not going to even try to downplay that sucker.
Yeah.
The struggle is real. But even when there's no guarantees and there's a high probability that you will lose, quote unquote, lose, whatever, try to have a backup win. Like if you can't obtain the thing that you're trying to get, what else can help you, support you to get you closer to the thing you're trying to get? Right. So a lot of times when I was meeting up with these people, like, cause you have to, their time is money. You have to be very cautious on your time as well. You know, you got to make sure you're leveraging your skills and your time appropriately, but you also want to make sure that you get something out of it where you can, that will be beneficial, not to be sounds all selfish or whatever, but still get the support you need.
Right.
So a lot of times when I meet people and I learned to not accept a meeting or do a meeting where there was no agenda, there was no goal. Yes. I had to figure that out. I wasn't for the longest time. I would wait for them to figure out the agenda. But like, no, baby. No. You figure out what you need. A lot of times people have not even take the moment to figure out what they need and what they want. Unfortunately, people will wait until they hit a crossroad. And that's generally when some type of life transition or crap happened to you, which sucks. So it's better to use your, take a Saturday out of a month and you use those times to have those life choice moments, get some coffee or tea and some brunch, you know, and just figure out in a journal and just write some stuff down, or even use a notepad on your phone if you don't want to write, you know, a voice memo. You just start asking those small questions, life questions, you know, like have your little Oprah moment. You know, what's that, Soul Sunday? Well, have your own Soul Sunday to get that stuff out. Because if you don't figure that out, trust me, somebody's going to figure it out for you. So
I love that, because it is, you know, if you're not doing that consistently or not taking that time out, then it just like keeps coming, right? It feels like it never stops, because there will continually be asks of you or things that you need to figure out for yourself. So if you know, like, this is when I'm going to figure it out, then it feels less overwhelming the other 3 weeks or, you know, other 6 days of the week, however you decide to plan it. So having that, like, I know I'm going to make decisions on this day, and then you can do that without having to worry.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Have y'all ever, I'm not sure if it's me, but I have noticed in my own personal life that lessons that you thought you learned will revisit you to try you out. It's like life woke up today and chose violence. Like, you know what? That thing you thought you learned, let's try again. You know, so it just like come in, like, a different form.
It's like, oh yeah, I said that I had mastered this thing, and then it's like, did you? No, I didn't. I didn't master anything.
I want my mama.
Oh man. Yep. Oh, it's interesting though, because that sort of thing is like, you know, you can process something after and identify where you maybe made a mistake or what you could do different, but you probably made those mistakes or did the things that maybe weren't good in the moment, because how you think when you're stressed is different than how you think when you're relaxed, right? How you think when you're upset is different than how you think when you're happy, right? And so I think that can go along, like, back to your plan or your idea of having a plan like that. And if you have something like that to fall back on, like a goal or whatever, or you know, these lessons that you've learned, but when things are bad, you know, thinking, okay, does this help further my goal? You know, instead of just reacting, you know, just reacting to as it comes, you know, it's kind of all ties in together. It's really cool.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good way to be.
Yeah. So this ties back into like the things that you've been doing, because you're doing a lot of like really great things to help people, and you've got this state of developers and you've got Jovial, right? And so, do you want to introduce what those things are to our listeners? And then we'll kind of talk about like how you're supporting people through this.
Yeah. Thanks. I appreciate it. And thanks for bringing it up. So State of Developers is a industry survey that I launched right before Christmas, where I'm trying to survey developers on burnout and their experience of burnout, anxiety, and depression. I'm asking, it's pretty much a holistic view on it, because I realized that, you know, when you're at work, you bring your whole self to work. So whatever, all the crap you had to deal with at home, that comes to work with you. It carpools with you. And whatever happens at work, it carpools
with you. Can we take the carpool lane then?
You could try.
Anxiety with me.
You could try. I don't think the popo is going to be like... because I noticed that there was something I struggled with a lot, but I noticed that it wasn't a very high priority in the business world, you know. It's always falls under the woo-woo, the wellness, whatever. Like when we have time doing down months, we can focus on that, you know, but we have to focus on these OKRs or objectives or key performance indicators, whatever.
Yeah.
And I always would allow myself to focus too much on it, because I wanted to create a product or app to help me with this, But because I knew it was a high priority in the business world, I was like, that's another way for me to be broke. And Helen, you already had bad ideas. I never allowed myself. But I started noticing that I was like, if I'm struggling with burnout and I had some dark moments, I know someone else has some dark moments. I know if somebody else is struggling with coding and like, and trying to balance life. Like for me, my current life situation, I'm trying to come up from shutting down a startup, trying to re-enter the market, you know, trying to learn some new skills. On top of that, I got an elderly parent that I'm helping co-care give. You know, all of that is a lot of stress. I'm not going to even talk about trying to do chores, trying to do the job, honey. That's in itself is a whole day's work. So I have like several full-time jobs.
Yeah.
Throughout my role, throughout the day. So I was like, if I'm struggling, you got to be somebody else struggling. And this is too important to keep pushing as a low priority. You know, this got to impact the bottom line somehow, you know, and I start asking developers and tech founders for interviews. Dan was one of them. So he gracefully did one with me and just asked him a series of questions. And the amount of stuff people was telling me, I was like, oh shit, this is some, okay, we need to get this in mass numbers for people to realize, no, this is something serious. Okay. You think this is not important. Like there's one insight I don't want to quite share yet that across the board, depending on the developer and the amount of privilege they have. Mm. I was like, if managers knew they were making their decisions like this, they would freak the F out, yeah. Right? And I did last week, I tweeted or DM'd some engineer managers and I asked them, I didn't out nobody. I just say, hey, mm-hmm. Have you lost talent because of this reason? And each one of them said, no, 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 no. I'm like, really? If not, because I changed the way I question it. I say, hey, have you lost talent because of this reason? And if not, tell me your secret. And people just start explaining their way of being mindful and having their own wellness programs and stuff like that. And then there's some men just like, well, I'm not sure, but this is how my people are struggling, or this is how I'm trying to prevent my people from struggling. And they even know that it's the workload. Mm-hmm. But one manager was like he said, if I didn't have the authority to push back, I would even quit. That's his whole get out of jail free card is the pushback kind of thing. So yeah, so that's what State of the Developer is. It's just a holistic survey. I haven't been promoting it this month because I'm trying to shorten it. That's the number one feedback I get from the developers. It's too long. So right now I'm just trying to condense it, you know, merge some of the questions and stuff like that, make it simpler. I'm going to relaunch it March and try to get more people to fill it. And hopefully I can be able to share the results in this summer, because the goal was I just didn't want to just do a survey and be like, yeah, everybody suck because we all tired and we broke and we tired, we mentally broke, we just so you know, that's why you got these crappy products, you know. But I wanted to also provide like some of the questions is asking people how they cope, how did they deal with it, how do they healthily manage it, you know, kind of thing. So I can compile a list of resources so people can try themselves. Because that's one thing about burnout. So many factors contribute to it. And it's just like productivity. It's not a one solution.
Yep.
It's really up to the person, what's in the context of their life, all their variables they have to deal with. So, yeah. Well. So that's what instead of developers. Sorry, I'll stop now. So go
ahead. Oh, no, not at all. I think it's great. I think it's very cool. And I think maybe you were about to walk into this, but the Jovial is sort of about framing it not for like the individual, right, but for the company who has developers as employees, right? And
yeah.
And this is one of the parts that's like very, very interesting to me, right? Is like that turning it around, you know, because most companies don't like hire developers and say, I'm going to burn these people out, right?
Yeah.
You know? And so they don't like, it's probably they just don't realize it, you know, or don't mean to. And so I was just wondering, you know, what are ways after reading, you know, after collecting information from all, you know, sorts of developers is if you are thinking more as a manager or something like that, like what are like some ways to support your developers and like watch for stuff like this and maybe try to prevent it from happening, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So just for disclaimer, Jovial is going through like its own evolution kind of thing. Because the solution that I was trying to propose as to solving this problem didn't pan out. Right. That's one thing about startup world. So I wasn't sold on, I'm not married to that solution. I'm married to trying to figure out how Helen don't be burned out this time next year, right? That's what I'm sold on too. So right now, Jovial is, the whole goal is definitely is more helping teams to manage the burnout. And it's not just also just identifying signals, but I'm thinking of more of creating a developer tool where it allows both parties to be full transparent, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
About the issue. And that's really nice. Meaning being transparent about different things, about your own goals. Because a lot of times people won't say something because, you know, that might go against company policy or the manager might not want to tell the developer because the developer just want to code and the manager might need him to step up or her to step up and take a leadership role. It's just like how can we help each other align our goals and help each other instead of sabotage each other's success kind of thing. So right now, Jovial is looking like I guess this is my first time me just sharing it. I'm trying to see if giving developers like an NPS tool, kind of like an NPS score, like on like how.
Can you pause for a second? What is NPS? I'm sorry, I don't know.
Sorry. So NPS is like a net promoter score. You usually get them as a customer. Like, let's say I bought KFC the other day and I on my receipt, you go to the website. They was like, how likely are you to buy this chicken sandwich again? How like it for employees, they normally get NPS scores that say, how likely are you to invite your developer buddies to apply for a job here? You're trying to gauge how much you suck and how much you don't kind of thing with whoever you're working with. So mostly it's like, why don't we have an NPS score on just really gauge how much this task or how much this workload is impacting you and also impacting the company. Because one of the things I've learned through the survey is that a lot of developers don't know if they're making an impact. I was like, how do you measure your progress? How do you measure your impact? They don't even know if they make having impact. They don't even have, like, most of the developers don't even have metrics to judge their work or their worth. You know, not even personal goals or metrics for themselves, nor from the company. Right. So it's just more of like right now, just researching it and trying to figure out how can I help developers to really measure what they've done and measure like the conversation. Like, did they get the feedback or the support that they need? Because one thing when I did like a self-assessment last week on my own personal experience with burnout. And once I realized that my main problem was I wouldn't speak up about my own needs and concerns. Like, I would suffer through, like, the whole month of February was me suffering through trying to relearn something and learn a new technology, whatever, so I could try to, so I could pass a technical interview. But I didn't tell my family that I even had the interview because I didn't want them to feel anxious about it because we were kind of going through some stuff financially. And I didn't want that burden of pressure, right? Just in case I don't get the interview. And which happened, I didn't get this, the third interview, right? So I kept this to myself. So but I have an elderly parent and she's waking up early. So she started kind of like interfere a little bit on my time when I was using it to study.
Yeah.
So that made me wake up 3 hours earlier. So that's like, I'm up 5 a.m, you know, trying to do this stuff. But mm-hmm. I could have like really saved myself some of this agony if I just shared this information with my family. This is like, hey, I got this really hard thing I'm trying to do. This is what I got to learn. And I didn't want to share because I didn't want to disappoint. And then also it was just hard because I'm still learning, trying to figure out the language to use with my family to describe what the hell I do for a living. Like, I can't figure it out. Every word, it's just like, you know, the Charlie Brown TV show, the parents, I was like, wah, 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 wah. Yep. That's how I sound to my family. Wah, 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 wah. So yeah, so that's where I'm at. I'm looking at like really like trying to figure out a way where people could be transparent and just open in their communication, mm-hmm. you know. So I thought the best way is just really just to score it for yourself, and if you're willing, you can share it with the next person, but at least help you break down and identify and pinpoint some issues so you can bring it up to the right people.
So, I love that.
If I confuse you or not.
No,
I'm still learning.
We're all still learning. For me, that's so important because those conversations are super hard to initiate and to talk about. And last week in one of my virtual coffee breakout rooms, we talked about what have you taken from a past work experience that was good and brought it to your new work experience. And for me, that was like a really important topic because I've been very transparent about like what I'm going through. And I've talked about the PTSD that I've encountered in my life. And gosh, like the last 4 months, it's like clockwork, like every 2 weeks, here's something new to trigger you. Like, yeah. We're not stopping now. And like, I know right before this call, like I got a call about my mom had heart problems and they did a procedure and stuff.
Oh,
and it's like, you know, like, what do you do in those situations? And for me, because of my past experience, I'm like able to go to my boss now and say like, hey, listen, this is what's going on in my life. I'm going to try my best, but I'm canceling my meetings for today. And yeah. That's going to be okay. But like, I don't know that I know for sure that there are other people out there that would not feel confident doing that thing. Right.
Yeah.
Like, and so if you have something that promotes that open conversation, like I am all for that because the more that we can say, like we can be transparent with each other.
Yeah,
exactly. I love so much what you said about like you bring all of your experience to the table. And that's been my talk for the last year. I've been talking about the person-centered approach to tech. It's like we're not developers. We're human beings and we have families. We have responsibilities. We have these things outside of tech. And that comes with us.
Yeah.
And if people don't acknowledge that, then you're setting us up for failure. And so I just really love that idea that you're working on helping to support the issues of the whole people, the whole person that comes to your team.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It helps the managers too. Like I'm not a manager, but well, I am because as a startup founder, I had to learn how to manage three people. I had to manage the developer, Helen. I had to manage the founder, Helen. And then I had to manage the investor, Helen, because she was pissed off because she wasn't getting money back. So that was a whole nother management style I had to learn. But I think at the end of the day, we're trying to reduce the amount of risk. We're trying to make the worst case scenario, the less worse. You know, if it happens, it's like, it's just like, I guess that's what I'm looking at. Because I think one thing about burnout and the issues about tackling it and trying to get support around tackling it is because people, it's like, oh, it's a nice to have to tackle it. No, it's not. It's just like, it's like, it's worst case scenario. It is the Murphy's Law, you know, saying so. But for me personally, I had to get buy-in to tackle it because I always pushed it to the side because there was always something more important, more grand and more bigger that I had to go fight and save kind of thing. Yeah. But at the same time, it was making life worse. Right. So it's like, if you want life to be a little bit easier, go tackle some of those demons. I'm telling you, be a Ghostbuster, figure it out. You know,
it's valuable, super valuable advice. Cause I think that, you know, we always want to do things in detriment of ourselves. Like, let's keep everybody else going forward. And we don't take care of like what we need. Yeah. And it's a thing. Somebody DM'd me and they were like, you're the one that said you should put the oxygen mask on first. So why don't you do it? I'm like,
yeah, like,
guess I should do the things that I say.
Yeah, no, practice what you preach is so hard to do. Yeah. No, I think it's just like, because at the end of the day, we're trying to manage things, you know, and we're dealing with reaction.
Yes.
So when you don't say nothing and you do something, people are going to react. Like, reason I was waking up early because it was found like this is the quietest my house is throughout the person up, everybody's up, you know. So my mom saw that and she's like, okay, I'm gonna wake up with you. No, I didn't.
No,
I love you, but no.
Yes, I feel that. I feel that hardcore. My kids are like, can you wake me up at 5? No.
No. Go to sleep. You know? So it's like, so as a manager, it's like if you're trying to support your team, trying to manage stakeholders and stuff like that, your worst enemy, your nemesis is that unknown variable. Right? So why don't you make it be so easy and comfortable for people to be open? You know, yes, you might hear something you might not like, but even if, let's say you hear a developer, they're ambitious and they want to have their own startup. So, you know, they're already thinking one foot out the door. Don't think that way. Okay, what can you align? What kind of projects can you align with them? You know, to help them reach their goal, but also help the company reach their goal. You know, granted, you got a competitive NDAs, all that stuff. I get that. Yeah, don't be an app. Oh, no, show, not Sesame Street. Don't be mean and bad and naughty and go against your company, you know. You know, but, you know, just try to align goals, you know. Like I'm ambitious too, but I'm also looking for a job. But I said, okay, Helen, don't apply for any job that kind of like falls into your competition world. You know, apply for jobs where you would want that company to be your customer. So your last day, we're celebrating a new relationship, right, kind of thing, where you want to invest in those relationships at that company. So you don't want to screw over people or burn bridges. You're trying to have strong ties. You're trying to make sure that people hit their goals, because at the end of the day, you get a chance to hit your goals. So look at it like that. So a lot of times I really encourage managers and both the talent to look at in that way, try to come at it more mutual benefiting, because every relationship have its life cycle, just like every product have its life cycle, software development have its life cycle. So like, instead of us acting like it's not there, just be more thoughtful. There we go, thoughtful.
I love that. I like. Yeah. I really like the framing of, you know, aligning goals. For this sort of thing. So it's not like it gives you a good tool to conversation. You know, starter. You know what I mean? So if you go into your manager or whatever, and you want to talk about this, you don't just have to say, tired or whatever, you know, I have too much work or whatever, like saying, let's, you know, have a conversation where we like work together and align our goals, you know, together. I think that it's just like you said, mutually beneficial. I think that's great advice.
Yeah. Cause I talked to one manager last week and it was like, yeah, I had one person, lost one because they were so tired. They was like, but they also had another startup and they didn't tell nobody about it. It was like, how can I help you? Yeah. You know, so that's all on that person a little bit, right? So, yeah. You know, yeah.
Well, I think like back to what you were saying about acknowledging people where they're at, like there are companies that make you afraid to be doing your own projects or like want to claim your own projects, right? Like, no, yeah. I've been doing this thing on my own time. Like this does not belong to you. And so having that transparency and that clarity is super important to making sure that everybody succeeds, not just, you know, the company or the person, like everybody succeeds when you're transparent.
Yeah. You got to remember companies are just like people. I mean, you got mean people, you got nice people, you got good people, you got, you know, holy die people, you got all sorts of kind of people, and you got that with companies. So if you decide to go with a company and you know they're very strict about that, you're making a decision to like, okay, I got to be in the closet. I can't wave my flag and be proud about this, you know, kind of thing. You make those choices, right? Or you can find companies where you can do your own diligent research and see, do they have entrepreneurial people? Is there anybody that work here and also have their own side project or their own startup? Are they open about it? Do they have in their bio, I'm a founder of this and I work here? Or do they just say, I work at enterprise company? You know what I'm saying? They have this incognito kind of phrases. So, or they say, oh, my views are not my own. I've seen so many of those in the engineering manager Twitter bio. I'm like, wow. You know, there's some companies like that, you know, so you know your own personality, you know what kind of, whether a company's profile is going to have you filling out some kind of facade or just living your own life. Living your own truth. So some companies, I know I'll have to put on a facade if I have to write, my views are my own. I know I'm you know.
I feel that 100%. And I just want to say thank you so much, Helen, for being here with us today. Like this was an absolute delight of a conversation. And
yes,
I know we all learned so much from what you said. So thank you for sharing with us.
No problem. Yeah. Thank you for inviting me. I'm glad I didn't bore you. So that was my fear. I was like, do not bore these people.
I don't feel like you could ever bore anyone.
Yeah,
you
no,
are fantastic.
I had talked to you in the past. I was not worried about that even a little bit.
Okay.
And I just add my thanks to you. I really like the work you're doing, and I appreciate your time. I appreciate you coming on.
Oh, thank you, guys. And thanks, Aunt. And good luck, everybody in the interwebs that are listening. You can do it. You can do it.
Thanks, Helen.
All right. Bye, Helen.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Virtual Coffee Podcast. This episode was produced by Dan Ott and Becca Harat-Weigel. If you have questions or comments, you can hit us up on Twitter at virtualcoffee.io or email us at podcast@virtualcoffee.io. You can find the show notes, sign up for the newsletter, check out any of our other resources on our website, virtualcoffee.io. If you're interested in sponsoring Virtual Coffee, you can find out more information on our website at virtualcoffee.io/sponsorship. Please subscribe to our podcast and be sure to leave us a review. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.